This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
So I just have to start by saying this. I always have an intense appreciation. I appreciate anyone who comes up and makes the trip to be on the podcast. Anyone who takes the time to do this, I'm always like so grateful. I have a special appreciation for whoever goes last.
Oh, right.
Because
on,
like
right on.
Hopefully the other interviews are like interesting and entertaining, but I'm always like, there's always that one person or like two people who are sitting there, and then I'm like, don't worry, just 50 more minutes and then I'll get to you, you know? So I appreciate you hanging out, man.
No, I enjoyed all the interviews before this, like this.
Yeah.
Super cool to see.
Well, and I'm glad we got you up. A little bit of background. I reached out to you for the first time a few months back. We did a panel. You know, we do a lot of these panels on Dynasty Podcasts. We did a panel in December that was like bringing together a lot of the really cool producers in the city who have done really innovative, interesting work. And you and I connected over email. And sometimes when I'm booking these panels, sometimes people don't answer. Sometimes people are like, oh, I don't have time. Sometimes people are like, nah. And sometimes people say yes.
Yeah.
And you had an answer that was really heartwarming because you were like, oh man, I'm not going to be in town, but I would love to do this. I've heard about the podcast. I wish I could be a part of it. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Even if he's just saying it, like, you know, I was like, that's such a nice answer. And I'm so glad we were able to reschedule the conversation, even if it wasn't at that panel, to start it tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, I try to keep my ear to the streets and...
Oh, I think no one would argue that, man. I think your body of work speaks for itself. And
appreciate
we're going to talk about that and your process and all that good stuff. But we always kind of start at the beginning. Like, tell us how you started out in music. How did production start for you?
Oh, actually, it's more so engineering.
Mixing
and mastering.
Yeah.
I started out in high school trying to rap.
So many of us.
Trying to rap. I had a bunch of friends that were upperclassmen that were like freestyling in the hallways and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was always into rap music and stuff. And I was like, I feel like I could do this too. No.
No.
My freestyle skills weren't great. But I was so into music and so passionate about, you know, rapping and stuff like that. I have a cousin. She lives in San Francisco. I kind of grew up with her and stuff. She would come by. But she was, like, super supportive with everything that I did. So she was like, what do you want for your birthday? A mic. And so she brought me a condenser mic and a whole, like, little setup and stuff. I set that up. I would invite my friends over that were freestyling with the rap stuff. And I was just, like, just more into making all the stuff sound professional after that. After they left,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I would try to come back to them and be like, look what I did. Radio ready.
Yeah, just like putting that quality mark even on the stuff when it's the very beginning.
Yeah, you know? That's, yeah, absolutely.
That's the mark of a professional.
Yeah, I was obsessed with it because it was like I wanted everything to sound like what was coming out of the radio.
Yeah.
You have to match that.
Was this in Chicago?
I actually grew up in Skokie.
Skokie? Well, okay, but the Chicago area.
But, yeah. And,
yeah, shout out Skokie, man.
I was born in Chicago, moved to Skokie when I was about, like, 3.
I went to school in Evanston for 1 year.
They did not
ask me back. At Royce Moore, which is, like, a K-12 in Evanston, and I had friends who lived in Skokie. I spent my time in Skokie, so.
We're kind of neighbors then.
There we go, man. And I was living in Oak Park, so, like, Skokie's, it's not that far down, though.
Yeah, so
I know.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. So you took this seriously from day one. That was clear. Like, how did it move from being something where, like, you're making sure things sound good for your friends to, like, the Grammy road? Like, bring us to, like, where it started to become, like, where did it progress?
Oh, man. Okay, so let's move.
We don't have to jump all the way in the future.
Yeah, but move the story forward a little bit after high school, college years. I actually dropped out of college twice.
Sure.
First time couldn't afford the university. So I took a semester off. I had nothing to do. My girlfriend at the time, she is best friends with Chris Classic, who owns Classic Studios.
Sure.
Had nothing to do. I was just like, hit him up and see if he needs any help.
That's how many great stories start. Yeah.
I'll intern. I just need to get out of this house because I'm not doing anything. It was cool for like a week.
Yeah, I think people really romanticize the idea of like free time. I know anytime I have like 4 days off in a row, like that first day I'm like, cool, I can sleep in, maybe I'll do some laundry, like watch some 30 Rock, whatever. And then like the second day I'm like, all right, I'm a little bored. And by the third day I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind if I don't get out of this house. You know, like, it's not as glamorous when you have nothing to do.
Yeah, the second time I dropped out of school, I was already engineering at Classic Studios.
Right.
And shout out to Chris Classic because he took me under his wing as an intern and taught me everything. I did not go to school for engineering at all.
Yeah.
He taught me everything that I knew. He taught me the basics and was like, go run wild, go crazy.
I've taught you everything I can teach you. But that's the I mean, to me, it's like, and I say this as a college instructor, but it's like there's just so much value in, I mean, there's so many ways to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much value in, you know, if college isn't the route for you, which fair enough, it's not, I mean, it's not the route for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you go get the education another way.
Yeah,
and you got that education in firsthand experience on the spot learning from a master.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is amazing.
And, going back to the second time that I dropped out, there's this bubbling rapper named Chance the Rapper.
I haven't heard of him, but I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, and he had just released his 10-day mixtape.
Sure.
And I was just like, I really fuck with this. This is tight. It's super tight.
This
and
kid's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, he was on the radio on Kiss FM doing an interview. I was like, what rappers on Kiss FM doing an interview that's from Chicago? You know, I can tell, like, this is kind of crazy. I was like, I'd like to work with him one day, you know. And then the next week he was at the Classic Studios house,
mm-hmm.
and he just had a session. And I was just like, that's raw.
And so how does that relationship form? And I'm always cautious, like when we're interviewing people who've worked for Chance, I don't want the interview to just be like, so forget your story, like tell me about Chance. Because I think in a lot of interviews we see a lot of headlines now where it's like Chance the Rapper's engineer tells us what, and it's like these people have identities outside of Chance, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah, I don't like seeing that either.
Yeah, and it's something I see so much with, you know, so many publications, both in and out of Chicago. And I'm always like, I feel like it does a disservice to Chance and to whoever they're talking about.
I hate when they do that to other artists and producers and whatever. But, like, it's no jab to Chance because he's an amazing dude. But
sure,
just,
of course.
You know, like, the publications, like, these people do have identities.
It's a lazy, I mean, and it's always been like that with things. You know, like, it's just this lazy jumping off point. And it's not just, it doesn't just happen with Chance. There's all sorts of publications that have been doing it forever.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this person is connected to somebody else in some way. And so they're like, oh, so-and-so is blank. And it's like, or they're just a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, you know, when you're working with an early Chance the Rapper, though, like, how did that relationship develop where you start having a role in his productions versus just, like, knowing him?
All right, so the first time was, okay, he had a session, and one of my friends, Jeff Jackson, he was engineering the session, and he had a long day from what I remember. It was, I checked the schedule, he was on it all day, and he was like, this session was for free, you know what I'm saying? It was a late night session, everybody was just winded down, and like, you know, he looked tired, so I was like, hey, man. I just got here, and
you want me to step in?
Yeah, you want me to step in? Because I don't mind. You know, I was a very, not because of Chance, but more so I wanted to get my feet wet with, like, just engineering.
You just wanted to jump at the opportunity, and it happened to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it was just cool that it was Chance. But, but yeah, I was just like, yeah, I mean, if you want to, like, I'll take over this. You know, you're not getting paid for it. I'm not going to get paid for it. But, like, I would love to get paid in the experience of just working in the studio.
Dude, that's so funny.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that was my first encounter. And then I think, you know, he kept coming back. And My good friend Stefan Ponce kind of like, you know, set it off like, hey, if you guys are looking for an engineer, this is the guy to go to. Because the next week we had worked on a record for Donald Glover.
Another heard of him.
This is like my second. This is my second chance session.
So you were just like, I don't want to say right place, right time, because obviously you worked to get to there. But like, there was just a certain level of like, you were really there at the right time.
Yeah, know? absolutely. But before that, you know, interning, I was mopping. I was
you were even
cleaning
the thing, man.
Toilets and
it's every rags to riches story. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you really like. You know, you had the glasses on, and everyone's like, he's not the pretty girl. Then you took the glasses off, and everyone's like, oh, my God, you know, like, yeah, it's that trope.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. So you go from, like, working with an early chance, and then, like, now you have this incredible body of work where you've worked with, like, Smino, you've worked with No Name, you've worked with a lot of really notable talent, especially a lot of notable Chicago talent. Mm-hmm. So now when you're engineering a session with a artists, whether they're from Chicago or not, like, what do you look for in a talent? Like, how do you choose which projects you go with?
I have to love it at the end of the day. I don't care what your status is or whatever. I love music, so whatever comes to me that I'm, like, actually feeling, then I'll work on it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sitting there engineering all day and mixing and stuff, and that doesn't sound like crazy activity wise, but you're working both parts of your brain from what I learned, and that's super exhausting.
It sounds mentally taxing, 100%.
It is. And if I don't eat and I'm working on something, like, it's over for me.
You become it's that Snickers over. Ad?
Yes, exactly.
Like, you're like, hey, Bigfoot, like, eat a Snickers, and then you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do not talk to me. No, because I really put a lot of energy into every single song that I work on.
Sure.
And I literally feel it draining the energy out of me by the end of the song, because I'm putting that much attention to detail to it, you know what I'm saying?
And it's, to me, it shows in your body of work that's on your website and, you know, that people can see, where it's like, you're not just taking any job that comes in. You are really, like, your kind of, like, portfolio really shows, like, this consistent quality, you know, where, like, you're really only working with, you can tell, artists that have a certain level of, like, integrity, passion, creativity, uniqueness, whatever you want to call it. Like, you're not just being like, hey, whoever's got a credit card, let's take them in. You know,
I can't do that.
No, it's clear, because, like, you only have the best of the best listed on your site.
Yeah.
And so, you know, bring us into, like, because I don't think everybody knows, like, what does an engineer do? How is it different than a producer? How is it different than, like, anybody else in that studio? Like, define your role and really, like, what makes what you do so unique and distinctive.
A lot of people would say that engineers in general are supposed to be invisible, but I say fuck that, man.
You just put it in your name.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Like, what I do is just take everything that the producer gives me.
Sure.
The artist's vocals, and I basically mash it into one whole thing called a song.
Heard of it? Sure.
And make it sound professional.
I'm going to look up Chance the Rapper, Donald Glover, songs. Learning a lot tonight.
Nah, you really just... you know, just put every single piece of the puzzle together and make it sound, like, lush and just professional, you know? And that's kind of what I obsessed over in my high school days, going back to that. Like, I really obsess over that stuff, and I guess that's why it's so taxing, you know, on me mentally and, like...
And then what's the reward of that? Like, is it when you hear that finished song? Is it when you hear something on the radio, or you see that something got, like, published on a Spotify playlist, or, like, you know, or you hear one of your songs live at Lollapalooza or something like that? Like, what are some of those moments where you're like, this is why it's worth it?
Personally, in my engineered nerd moment, it's when it sounds good on everything.
Sure.
When those little $35 Apple earbuds, oh my God, it sounds great on this. Car stereo, great on that. Shitty boombox, shitty speaker on the MacBook Pro. That shit sounds amazing.
That's so in every metric.
Yes.
To me, the car is still, like, the number one place that
absolutely
has to sound good.
Car test is definitely a thing.
God, sure. It's like, music does not sound better to me than, like, when I'm driving, you know, like, it's just, that's so transcendent, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I guess part two of that is when I see the artist just take the music and run with it.
Yeah.
And I've seen that so many times, and it's insane. No Name being a great example.
Sure.
She came to me with Telephone and was like, okay, I have this amount of a budget. It's not much, but, you know, like, I'll work with you, because, you know, I met her a long time ago and I thought she was an amazing talent. And I was just like, let's just let me work. We'll figure that out, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Telephone comes out a few months later, sold out tour. No big deal.
No big deal. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's rewarding for me, though. That's
right.
Super rewarding for me is, you know, seeing that time and time again, after Acid Rap, after Telephone, Black Swan with Smino. So
right.
a tour, basically. And, and just seeing them go from not having too much to having the world, man. That's, I'm literally...
It's got to be amazing.
Changing these people's lives because they decided that they wanted to change theirs, and I was just there to help. That's raw.
That's incredible. And, like, you know, like you said, you've really, like, I think, made a name for who you are. You're not just in the background. Do you, you know, do you see that opening the door for other engineers? Do you feel like, you know, there are younger kids who might see you and be like, hey, I want to be an engineer, but I could also be like a name?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is kind of like, I've been super fickle about this, but I'm looking for an assistant to help me, because I
sure.
need a lot of help.
Dude, from your mouth to God's ear, it's hard doing any of this.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right now we've got a podcast going, we got a live stream going. Natalie, who works with us on the podcast, is like taking photos of all the guests, and it's like, we're not mixing a hit song, but it's like, it's just a lot to, like, do, really. And if you want to do something right, it's a lot. You need help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, more so, like, not help me, but I want to help somebody else as well.
Sure,
you
of
know,
course.
Because I love seeing that. Because that was
you got
the
that
same
break.
Thing. That was the same thing that happened to me. Had Chris Classic said, nah, I'm good, or, like... No.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, man.
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd probably still be in school or something. I know I'm like 29. I might still be
you
in
might
school.
Still be in school. Dude, I mean, I'm going to take up 20 seconds of this, 10 seconds, but, like, not to make this about me, but I did internships in high school in radio at Q101.
Yeah.
And guess how many radio stations wanted a 15-year-old intern? Zero. 0% of them. No one wanted a 15-year-old intern. One guy gave me a break. And I was so thankful, and it turned into a 13-year job with Q101 Radio. And so now, you know, teaching at Columbia, I really try to, like, you know, if somebody comes up and like, hey, I want to work on your podcast, I'm like, great, let's see what we can do for you. Because I got that break, and it's so important to pay that forward when you have something else to share with the next generation, man. It's just like, it's a great thing to do.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Because I might need some advice on this. How do you pick your people? Because I have trust issues.
Well, you know, like, for me, because I have had a number of interns, especially since I started teaching at Columbia. Once I got to Columbia, like, that was just this thing where the first decade, I've been doing this podcast for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So just a crazy long time. And for the first, like, decade, let's say, no one cared about podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was very hard to convince anyone. It was hard to convince people to be on the podcast, let alone someone to work for it, you know?
Yeah.
Once I got to Columbia and, you know, teaching there, and then podcasts became cool, it became a little bit easier, because one of two things would happen. Either I would teach a class for 15 weeks and I'd see somebody who just clearly was excelling, somebody who had this awesome talent. And, you know, I was fortunate, I got to be in the room and see that week after week. So I'd either see that standout where I'm like, man, that kid, I shouldn't say kid, like, they're young adults, but, like, that person, you know, there was this girl, Madison, who works for the podcast, Madison Keenan. Shout out Madison. She does our graphic design. She does video. She does audio. She does everything. And week after week, she was in my class, and she just was killing it. I could tell she was so talented. And long story short, after the semester was over, I was like, hey, feel free to say no, but would you like to work on the podcast? And she's helped us out for, like, 2 years. The other thing that would sometimes happen is, like, there'd be somebody who, even sometimes in the beginning of the semester, like after 2 weeks, they'd be like, hey, you do that podcast thing, right? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, let me do your website. Let me do your audio. I'm that person. And they just like, they approach me and they're like, I'm the guy or I'm the girl. Mm-hmm. And then they just go for it. So I've had kind of those two scenarios happen a lot where like either I see somebody because I have the advantage mm-hmm. of being in the room with them for a while mm-hmm. or someone comes up to me and they're like, I'm hungry. I'm ready. Like, I want to do this. And those have been the scenarios where I've found the best people. But at the flip side of that, man, for years and years, I had interns who like, and look, like no judgment, but like people would come on for like a week and they'd be like, oh wait, I have to do something. And I'm like, yes, you do. Like that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I would say like looking for those, the people who are really hungry, who are like really, you'll find out pretty quick. I'm sure you already know. It's like, you'll find out pretty quick if somebody like really wants to do it or not.
Yeah.
Because there's mm-hmm. going to be plenty of people who are like, hey, how soon do I meet Chance? Hey, can I go to Lollapalooza? And it's like, those are not the people who are
going right,
to
right, be absolutely. The people.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear, insertion for somebody.
But you know what? You'll also be able to read really quickly, like, the ones who have the actual genuine, the ones who are, like, going to do it with or without you. Like, if you don't hire them, they're just going to go start recording or engineering sessions in their bedroom with their friends in high school, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when you can find that person. That's like,
that's a whole lot of show improve.
It, sure. Absolutely, just like anything, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our podcast about how to choose interns. But it's something that I have learned very much. Like, it's kind of an art.
Yeah, it is.
You know, because there's the people who are right for it and the people who are wrong for it. But also, you have to make sure that you're like providing the scenario in an environment where like it is the right setup for that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're going to all sorts of places with this. But I love what you're doing. And so what's coming up on deck for you going forward? What does your 2018 look like for L10 Mixed It?
Oh, man. That's kind of a crazy question because I don't even know. No. I'm doing a lot of spot dates with Smino with touring and
that's
stuff
awesome.
Like that. And just like, there might be a tour this year, I don't know yet.
And Smino has just had like a hell of a 2017.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was wild.
Absolutely. I think that's amazing. You know, just chipping away at, songs with Smino. I think there's been talks about me potentially working on another Joey Perp project.
That'd be great. He's another one who I think is just going to have a really... Like, whenever he drops his next project.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Big. Yeah. Because you look at what happened in Tokyo.
Oh, it's like,
yeah.
Yes. shout out to Tokyo.
Shout out to Tokyo, who went fucking just full Interstellar.
Yes, absolutely, man. That's my bro, and I'm just super happy for him. I know his album just dropped.
Literally.
Wave Theory.
Yeah.
You know, Worldwide Wave, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Worldwide Wave, get that now if you don't have it yet, but... Joey Perp's going to go crazy whenever that next one drops. Tokyo's going crazy. What else? What else do I got going on? Yeah, that's really it so far. Like, I'm not sitting around and waiting. I'm trying to keep...
No, of course not.
...busy, you know, and I don't know. I might pick up some producing this year.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And if an artist, you know, listening, watching this, whatever, like, if somebody was like, hey, man, I really want to work with L10 Mixed, like, how could they approach you? What are you going to, you know, what's the right way to approach you? Like, what are you looking for? Like, how prepared do they have to be? Like, how can somebody come up to you and say, like, hey, I've got something that I think is worth your time?
Yeah. You can reach me at my website, L10Mixed.com.
Sure.
But I think more importantly... The more prepared you are with your approach, the better. Because I'm ridiculously busy at the moment for the past year, I guess. And I haven't been able to get back to emails and text messages and phone calls as often as I should. But I'm still trying to figure out my structure.
Absolutely, man. That makes me feel even more... honored that you are here because we were in pretty regular email communication. You were really good about getting back to me.
Yeah, that's one of the things is that's why I need an assistant as well. You know,
yeah,
I'd be giving them the login and please just handle this for
me. That's such a like Yeah, that really is like putting the apple on your head and being like, all right, I'm trusting you with this bow and arrow.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's and that's really what I need, you know, to just make my life easier. Because I do feel bad when I'm not able to respond to certain artists because I just don't have the time to.
Right.
Not even 3 or 4 minutes to listen to your song or whatever. But if I had somebody checking that for me and stuff and be like, hey, check this out. It's a... Hey, trust me.
This is the thing.
This is everything that you asked for.
The kids are going to know, too.
Yeah.
I'm 35. I've learned that again and again. I used to be that kid. I was 15, 17, 21, being like, going to the radio station, being like, we got to check out these guys. You got to check out these guys. And then, like, suddenly you get fucking, you go all Logan, and you got the gray hair, and then you're like, hey, kids, what's going on?
But, you know, the cool thing about that is staying in tune with the youth just keeps you young.
Oh, yeah,
you
know absolutely.
And, like, it's that shit is cool to see when they come up to you. I mean, shit, what just happened with Quinn? Like, he was saying how all he was doing was listening to acid rap. Yeah. And then Monty and Smino was, like, an inspiration. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here like, wow, this is really happening. I'm kind of, like, helping shape the next generation.
It comes up quick, man. It comes up quick.
Absolutely.
Like they, you know, they're hungry, and that's awesome.
Yeah. It reminds me of me back in the day. Just
absolutely, man. The kid who, like, dropped out of college twice and worked with Classic Studios, and then that little boy grew up to be Chance the Rapper. You know, like, and you had that come-up story.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. I love what you're doing. I'm really glad we got to start this conversation. And same thing I said all evening, and I always mean it. It's like, as you have new things going on, like, please come back. Let's get you on a panel because you have a lot of great insight to share. And I feel like we just scratched the surface tonight.
Got
to
feed the streets, man. Got to feed the streets.
And really giving back to the next generation is, I think, one of the most important steps you can take once you get any level of come up. It's like then turning around and being like, how can I help you guys?
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually what I really want to do. I just haven't found the time or the opportunity hasn't presented itself to really do that yet. But yeah. I'm 100% down for that, for sure.
I'll say this much, man. Like, teaching at Columbia, and I wish I had more music students in my class, because I'd be happy to have you speak in my class, but it's a lot of, like, comedy and film students. Not that they couldn't also learn from you. But, man, I feel like there's, like, an audio production engineering, audio arts class where you could go tell your story, and it would just blow their minds. I really think that, like, to me, just in the short time we've talked tonight, you would be somebody who would do a great job of speaking to students about the hustle, what it takes, the challenges, how you build, all that stuff. To me, I just feel like you have that story.
That would be tight. That would be super tight. Like, I've thought about doing that before. I'm probably not the greatest public speaker, but if they can take something out of my, like, chopped up speech, that's all that
it's
matters.
All about passion. And I think it's just all about, like, the fact that you have the passion and you have the ingenuity. You made your own path. I think that's just one of the most important components of any creative career at this point. It's like not just waiting around for someone to say, like, okay, now I dub thee an entrepreneur. Now I dub thee a producer. Like, you go out and you make it happen yourself. That's again and again and again, I see more and more that's the main thing that drives success now. It's just somebody who doesn't wait around.
I think life is too scary when you just put it all on the line to just not do anything with your life. You know what I'm saying?
100%, man. I love it. And I think you should be talking in classes, and we'll definitely get you on a panel. And
that'd be tight.
Man, I think we're going to continue this conversation in one way or another on the podcast, or at least I hope so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm definitely down to come through anytime.
Awesome, man. I love it. We're going to do more with this L10 Mixed It. Elton, man, thank you so much for coming up and starting this here on Dynasty Podcast with us tonight, man.
Right on, man. Appreciate I love it.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.